Log Talk Radio.
This is a reminder.
Oh, fuck.
Apple woman not.
Okay.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Lenny Godfrey Straight, No Chaser. Well, we took a little break, and September is now here. We are here on September 8th at 7 p.m., and we have all of our wonderful guests in hand. I have three wonderful women who are going to be having a conversation with us this evening. But before I do anything, you know I have to do my housekeeping. The first thing I have to do is to tell you, welcome to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. If you want to dial in, it's 516-453-6063. The other thing is that we are on blogtalkradio.com/S as in Sam, F as in Fred, T as in Tom, H as in Harry, the number 2. Welcome you all back to this season. We're almost in fall now. We had a really good clearing out of the air, and an Ida also affected a lot of us. So I'm saying prayers for everyone who was affected by Ida, and saying that I know that these days are cleanup days. We're due to have a little bit more, but hopefully it's not going to affect us as much. Now, I'd like to say one more thing also before I get to my three exceptional artists here. This week coming up will be 9/11, the celebration, the 20th year celebration. And I just want to extend my prayers and my thoughts to all those people who have lost people in that event, and send love and praises. It is the date of my birth, so I pay homage to everyone very early on, and then celebrate my mother giving birth to me. So love to all of you out there. And now I'd like to bring these three ladies into you. I had the pleasure of knowing two of them through the business and one socially. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to allow the audience to maybe guess toward the end of the program which ones I didn't work with and which one I have worked with. And also, I think I'm going to try to divide this up because it's three ladies and we have so much to talk about. The first half is them telling you about their careers in the theater and on film and television and all of the areas that they've been in. And then the second half, as we hope to do, is, if we don't run out of time, as we do a lot, is to talk about that time when dance was not the first priority. It became the second priority, and what made that happen and when that happened. So I'm telling them now this so they have a heads up, divas, as to how the second half of the show is going to be. You hear them giggling. You know, they know that I'm on them. But let me tell you, let me introduce these three really wonderful ladies. The first is Miss Leslie Dockery. I've known for most of my adult life. Don't say a word, Leslie. Don't say anything. Just be quiet. I have known this talented woman for most of my adult life. She is a very talented dancer, choreographer, director. She is trained to be a wonderful actress. She has critics choreographing Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope, the revival at York Theater. She was in the original workshop of Broadway's Smokey Joe's Cafe, choreographing to that, as well as the choreographer for the off-Broadway Little Ham from my hometown, and Mom, starring the wonderful Clarice Taylor. That's number one. The second is a wonderful dancer, choreographer, director, also Julia Lima, who studied with, when I saw this name, I thought I would just burst. The name is Pepsi Bissell. We'll talk about Pepsi and the Clark Center and everything else later on. And she went on to study at Alvin Ailey, and she studied at Menacing. She also studied a very theater at the Urban Art Corps with Vinette Carroll. But some of her credits, her theater credits are, she went on to do Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope, the revival of it, Tremonisha, Guys and Dolls, Ain't Misbehaving, Little Ham, and she was dance captain for the majority of it. And finally we get to Miss Leah Bass-Bailey, who I have known a very long time. She's a graduate from Spelman, has a degree from Teachers College in Columbia. Then she got her MS from Pepperdine. She was the principal of the Valley Regional No. 12 Elementary School and retired from, she was there from 2009 to 2019. She retired. She is now involved in, as a director, in the Education and Arts Teaching Solutions, a consulting organization designed to enhance instructional delivery for students in preschool and secondary. But it is one of the things that I'm so, so very proud of is also she was named she had a partnership with the Carlos Santana Foundation, and I want her to talk about Carlos Santana Arts Academy. And now I'd like to welcome these three ladies and separately say hello and say who you are, starting with Leslie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Leslie Doctoring. I'm a director, choreographer, actress. She didn't tell you all my credits. So that's me, Leslie.
Go, Julia.
You
hello,
told
I'm
everything
Julia
already.
Lima, also a dancer, director, choreographer, actress. And just happy to be here, and I know we're going to have a great time.
And Leah?
Hi, I'm Leah Bass. I am a retired educational administrator and dancer, singer, actress, and choreographer. And I'm excited to be here with my friend, my old girl.
Watch that term there, girl. Watch
mature,
that. Watch
mature.
Mature, and I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here because there are a lot of people that are not here.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes, we can attest to that. And I'm so happy to have the three of you here. So now, your voices are very distinctive, but for a little bit at the very beginning, just say, once you're answering some of this conversational questions, just tell the people who you are, because I really want to start about where you were born and how you entered the business, who was supportive to you, what made you pick dance. I'm going to start with Julia. Julia?
Oh, well, I am a native New Yorker, born in the Bronx, lived in every borough except Staten Island. I guess the majority of my education and upbringing was in Brooklyn and Manhattan. I started dancing when I was a child, but my father passed away when I was very young, and my mother could no longer afford classes, so that stopped. And I didn't start dancing again until I got to high school. And they had an orientation presentation of, you know, what other activities you could join in the school. And I remember when they had the modern dance department come up and they did something, I remember jumping out of my seat and pointing to the stage and saying, I want to do that, you know. And it just snowballed from there, you know. And I started, and I had to take gym for 6 months because I was a new student. And after that, I could take dance, and I continued to do that. And when I graduated, I continued my dance training.
Well, now, one of the things that really hit me, when did you bump into Pepsi Bissell? Pepsi Bissell I think all of us know the name. Pepsi
Bissell. Yeah, I took Pepsi's class. He taught a jazz class at Clark Center for the Performing Arts.
Yes.
You know, and he was just a bundle of energy. You know, he's quick and fast, and you know, he talked fast, he moved fast, he danced fast, and you did the same thing.
Yeah,
know?
He was tiny.
Yeah,
yes.
He must have been about five. I think he was about 5'3", 5'2". He was about the same height as me.
Yes. He was tiny. But
about
boy,
that.
He
maybe a little shorter. I don't know. You know, but he was big as a thread.
Yes.
You know? But he was this tiny little guy who was just full of energy. And, you know, like you go to different places that had classes, and you kind of look and see, you know, what you want to learn. I saw his class, and I thought, wow. I want to take that. He teach you how to move fast, you know, and be able to execute the steps cleanly. And even though there were quick moves, because one thing, you know, he would always say is, you know, they got to be able to see what your feet are doing, you know. So
yes, Pepsi was wonderful.
Know.
He wanted clean
steps.
Yes, he did. Know. Yes, he did. Yeah. Now, Leah, tell me. Where did it all start for you?
You know, I grew up in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And for as long as I can remember, I took dance class. Of course, I loved tap and jazz, but I could only take tap and jazz if I took ballet, which I despised. So I continued taking tap and ballet and jazz really just for fun. We performed. We did, of course, a Nutcracker like every other little teeny studio. And I never really thought of it as a career. And then I moved to Atlanta, Georgia to go to Spelman. And I went to take class in the city. And I got tapped to be in a company in Atlanta that met at the Callenwald Arts Enclave. And then I got hired to be the ballet mistress for that company. And we performed all over the city, and I was still in college and performing. And once I got out of school, I decided that I wanted to see if I could do it for real. And so I came up with this plan to go to Columbia University for grad school. And I got into Columbia and went to class, and I went to class with Nat Horn at the Airy School.
Wow.
And Nat had his own theater. And Nat got me working right away. And we would do these performances. I know everybody on this call has done them. But those performances where you rehearse forever in a year, and then you do a performance, and you get paid $50. And you're happy as a clam.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I did that, but I really, really, really realized I loved performing, and that was such a special man. And then I went over to Frank Hatcher's to take class, and over to Henry LaSalle, and that was where I found myself. And I got a job doing, we did Bojangles that Frank choreographed. And then I got a job down at the Henry Street Settlement with the dance company with Frank Ashley. It was a modern dance company. And so I had all of these little jobs. And then, of course, there was Henry LaTang. And y'all know how that works. You dance all day long, teaching everybody, and then you do all the little jobs that come up on the weekends with Bernard Manners and Bernard Marsh.
Yes.
And then I had the audacity to decide that I wanted to go to grad school, but I refused a scholarship. They told me I had to choose dance or my scholarship. And I chose, And I got this job with Armelia McQueen, Maurice Hines, Hinton Battle, Bernard Marsh, Bernard Banner, who did a show called On Toby Time.
Oh.
And the whole time we were doing
I remember
show,
that show.
We kept saying, is this all the money we're going to get paid? We did that show. I turned down my little scholarship, and then lo and behold, I got pregnant with my son. And so then I went and begged my scholarship back and finished.
Leah, when you went to Spelman, what was your major?
My major was child development and early childhood education.
I see. Okay. All right.
But we always
so now,
danced. They had a really good program.
Did they have a good program? And, that's really interesting. All right, Leslie.
I'm born and raised a native New Yorker from Brooklyn. You probably could tell from my accent. They say I have an accent. I don't believe I have one, but anyway. So from Brooklyn, I always wanted to dance. I remember going to a recital, and they were little kids, and they were dancing, and I was like, oh, no, I am there. Wanted to jump on stage at that moment. It was a friend of my mother's kid was in it. So I used to go spend a night at her house just so I could wear her tutus and her little costumes and stuff. But I knew very early on. I liked her too, but I really liked the tutus. And then I remember my mother told me, because I really didn't like school. I liked doing what I wanted to do, which was dance. So my mother said to me, she said, you know, there's a school you could go to where you dance all day. I said, you don't have to do any school. She said, no, you do have to do schoolwork. She said, but you'll dance all morning and you do your schoolwork, or you dance all afternoon and do your schoolwork. So I was like, okay, that's where I'm going. High School of Performing Arts, of course, LaGuardia. So then I said, but it feels like she told me when I was in the first grade. I'm sure she didn't tell me until the fourth or fifth. But she said, well, you have to keep a 90 average. She was lying. I didn't have to keep a 90 average, but it made me keep a 90 average. It made me keep a 90 average. He was so shady. I told him once I realized, I said, Mommy, I didn't have to have a 90. She said, no, I want you to have a 90 average. So it helped me stay interested in school. So then I auditioned for the High School of Performing Arts. I remember my mother was so fantastic. She was like, Your audition should be coming up. But we didn't hear anything. Well, I'm in class doing a test or something, and the nun comes over, Leslie, you have to leave now. I'm like, I gotta leave now. My mother then called the school and went whatever rigmarole she had to go through and found out I was supposed to be there that morning. And it was funny because you have to come in and do a little, you have to do like a minute or two of a dance, you know, some kind of performance. So my mother comes saying, Leslie, you need to practice. You know what music you're going to use? Do-do-do-do-do. You know what you're going to do? Yeah, Ma. But she was like, no, you're doing this and you're doing it now. So I was very lucky that she made me do that because it was like the next week I was auditioning for the for High School of Performing Arts. And that was my beginning. I remember coming downstairs from the audition and my mother was like, everyone had this envelope for them to come to the callback. And she didn't see my envelope and she was like, oh, my God, how am I going to tell my child that she didn't make it or whatever. She said, I said, oh, Mommy, was this or that? She said, did you get an envelope, Leslie? I said, oh, yeah, here it is. I had a 17 magazine. It was in the magazine. She was like, thank you, Lord. She said she wouldn't have known how to tell me. So, and then I went to the High School of Performing Arts, and that was the beginning of my career.
The three of you all studied extensively in different ways. Now, I tried to see if the three of you all ever worked together in one show. I couldn't find it. Have the three of you ever worked together in one show?
Did we all work together, y'all?
Not the three of us. You and I worked together last
week. The only time
we worked together was when you choreographed
Little Ham.
Right.
Okay, so that's Julia and Leslie, right? So, mm-hmm. Leah, when did you and Leslie worked when?
Leslie and I worked together on Tap Dance Kids, and then Leslie and I took classes together with Frank and with Henry.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
We've always been in each other's life. Yeah, we've always been in each other's life.
The three of you have crossed paths. I mean, because a lot, because Little Ham is between you and Julia, and then I would think, what about Guys and Dolls? Did you do Guys and Dolls with Julia?
That was the all black production that was directed and choreographed by Billy Wilson. Yeah.
Okay.
He did that, so, Guys and Dolls.
I did that
Guys
one.
Guys and Dolls, it was done by Arthur Faria.
Okay.
Oh,
there
right.
Was,
okay.
It was Debbie Allen and Maurice.
Okay. That one. All right. Okay. And you all didn't cross paths with the Ain't Misbehaving at all, Julia, you and Leah?
No. That's funny.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, they didn't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's such
a small world that you think. Yeah, you think that the three of you. Tell me, how is it? You know, I think the audience, we don't have a lot of time to get through the early part of your career because here we go again. But how is it being a female dancer in that period of time? There was a plethora of a lot of shows that people could go. Once you all started earning money, you know, once we start earning money, then we kind of go to another level. How was it being that? How was the treatment? How did you feel? Did you feel respected, disrespected? Tell me about how that felt. Why don't you start, Leah?
I always felt respected. The people I worked with, I felt respected by. Mm-hmm. And I love the women I work with. I can't think of one woman that I worked with that I didn't care for. Pretty much, they became my sisters. And with most of them, I'm still in touch with them now. Now, I'm not going to say that's 100% of them, but I would say a good 95% of them. And we shared opportunities with each other.
Yes. What about you, Leslie?
I had a great time. I was just living and laughing and dancing and singing and thinking I was all of that. But what I did figure out was, I remember doing a show, All Night Struck, and we had this huge, that Arthur Faria did choreograph. We had this big jitterbug. It was a number that by the time you get off stage, you couldn't breathe. So this one night, I don't know what happened. I never noticed it before. This one night, I couldn't breathe, and I looked over, and the four lead singers, they were fine. They were just chatting, and I was like, something is wrong with this picture. And mind you, the dancers worked the hardest and made the least money.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So
that is,
I saw that, I said, maybe I need to learn some other stuff, too. Yeah, it really hit me that, wow, I'm sitting up here, can't even breathe, and these four leads are just, la, la, la.
So, one has to be concerned about that. I found that I'll talk about that in a little bit, but I want to hear Julia. What did it feel like for you?
Basically, for me, I'm like Leslie and Leah. You know, I basically had an all right experience, and plus, practically every show that I did, I was the dance captain, so it was a little bit of authority. you know. But once people respect you and know that you know what you're doing and you know that choreography and you can help and assist if there's a problem and fix it and work it out, and, you know, you earn their more of their respect that way. And I've never really had a problem with anybody. And if I did have a problem, I just left them alone. I too much energy, you know.
Right.
I just didn't feel, you know.
Right. We were living and laughing.
There you
yes.
go.
Yes. So, well, you know, I think one of the things that I learned very early on, being one of those people who could move well and would always be tapped to try to stand next to you dolls who were the dancers, is I appreciated how the discipline that you all had. I don't think people knew that they understand when you talk about going to class what that means. How many classes could you take in a day? That I think I'd really like the audience to understand exactly what it is that you do in order to train to be that, because you know, it's something very different, and I learned that about you, or going to class with you and watching you all. How many classes did you go to a day? Say when you weren't doing a show and you decided you were going to study. How many classes?
We can just say class forever. In PA, we took at least 4 or 5 dance classes a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would get out of school and want to go take another class somewhere else. Not
okay.
just in school.
And why?
So, yeah,
and
it's
why?
A lot of training. It's a lot of training.
Yeah.
But why would you, and I'm gonna go to Julia, both you and Leah, but why would you want to take a class? Now, you've already been in class. You studied the techniques of those teachers. Why do you want to go someplace else? Why? Why, Leslie?
Oh, why? Oh, because I wanted to dance with Fred Benjamin, or I wanted to do a tap class somewhere else, because performing arts was very much modern, ballet, East Indian, stuff like that. But you didn't get to tap dance, and you didn't get to do jazz. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I wanted to do. So I was, like Leah just said, you had to take that ballet. You had to take that ballet. Now I understand why we had to do it. So
yeah,
it was an outlet for me to go to the mm-hmm. other classes that I wanted to do.
What about you, Leah? How many classes did you take when in your training stage?
You know, when I was studying, I would take 3, 4, 5 classes a day. And part of it would be, you know, part of it would be studying, but part of it would be the camaraderie and being
mm-hmm.
around people. And, I mean, I could stay at Henry Latane from 9 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. And when
yeah,
I first had my son,
yeah, he was infectious.
I took my
he
son
was infectious.
With me to
yeah.
class, and he
yes.
was months old. And Ellie Holder held on to my son while I took class. It just, I needed it. I needed
yeah.
to be
yeah.
around those people. There was an
yeah.
energy. There was an excitement, and you
exactly.
were always learning something new. If
mm-hmm.
you were with Thelma Hill, you were learning something new. If
mm-hmm.
you were with Nat, you were learning something else. If you were, you know, you were always studying with different people and trying to really improve your craft.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Julia, you studied so many kinds of dance. How many classes would you take in a day, and what kinds of classes were they? Because, I mean, you listed 2 or 3 kinds of African dance and all of that. Well, how did you do?
Right. Well, yeah, basically I'm like Leah and Leslie. I mean, you know, you took class all day. You know, if you could, once I started, like, you know, working, let's say if I was doing a show, you know, it's like, all right, you were glad you were doing a show, but, I mean, you still got up and went to that 9 a.m. ballet class, or that, and then after that, you know, you took that other class in the afternoon. You took class all day till you went to the theater.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's
warm,
youth, but
warm,
also
yeah.
it's
mm-hmm.
like Leah said, you know, you want to continue, you just want to improve yourself, you know.
Yes.
And when I was doing African dance, because before I really got into doing musical theater, I did African dance, which is a whole nother animal. And the way they train
right.
is, you know, you like say you put a show together, and that's like high energy. I was doing West African dance. And you would run the show, come off, and run it again, back to back. Just run it, run it, run it two or three times. Mm-hmm. Then you rested for about 15 minutes. And then you started and did the whole thing over again. And this was like, you know, some people were working. And we rehearsed from like 6 to 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. building that stamina.
You know,
building
and
stamina.
All in the day, you know, and some when I was, you know, dancing with Olatunji and stuff like that, you know, we had class at night. And if you were not working or whatever, you were teaching during the day
mm-hmm.
at the
mm-hmm.
school. You know,
mm-hmm.
so you were always in class, you know. And then we had other teachers, this brother from the Congo named Tito Sompa, who was from Congo, and we learned Congolese dancing, and Tunji incorporated all of that because Tunji is from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, you know, so, we had all types of, you know, but yeah, you dancing is your life. It's because
yeah.
you can't do anything else. I mean, you don't want to do anything else.
Anything else.
You know, I know
and
we're
to be the best
women now, but you will always say that you are a dancer.
Well, now,
and I'm sure we
could
all tap a toe in some kind of way, even if you're sitting in the chair.
Exactly.
Right, right.
You know, that brings to mind, you know, I'm past my half hour time, so I know I have this one question, though, I have to ask. Is, do you think the infusion of the dance that you all talked about in the classes that we took, like with Frank Hatchett, like with Pepsi Patel, you know, Fred Benjamin, all
mm-hmm.
of those wonderful people, now there is an inclusion of, let me just, athleticism, the gym,
right.
the whole thing.
Acrobatics.
What, the acrobatics of it. Now, what are your thoughts about that? I just, if you could briefly tell me, I mean, I want to know, you know, what you, before we get to the next movement of what the arts has done in your lives and how it's influenced it, we can see now how much it did, even when you all had other choices in life. What do you think about what we see today and the different requirements of the athleticism that is required
mm-hmm.
sometimes in some of the choreography? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I hear mm-hmm. But I'm hearing things. All right. So I'm gonna go down the line now.
Okay, but this is Julia. I was gonna say I like it, and I think it's like the next excuse me, the next level, because as an athlete, and now they are finally admitting and the fact that dancers are athletes.
Yes.
And
right.
you're always pushing yourself and striving to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is just the next level, because now in dance and stuff, if you go to some dance schools and stuff, they include acrobatics.
Acrobatics.
Whereas mm-hmm. before, when we were coming up, you were not taking acrobatics unless you went somewhere separate and apart to do
mm-hmm.
gymnastics or something like that. You know, and now you can take gymnastics or acrobatics or something, and it's included in the dance. And I just
mm-hmm.
think it's like it's another level. You know, you push yourself to strive and do better, you know.
What do you think, Leslie? You agree?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It is another level, and they do. It's the thing that I find nowadays. It's a lot of tricks. A lot of tricks. These kids know how to do a lot of tricks. Their facility is amazing. I just find sometimes they're so technically good, so sometimes I just don't see the soul. I don't see.
Right.
The you know that thing, I don't see that, but they're amazing.
That.
They're amazing. Their legs can
yeah.
do this and that, but sometimes they don't hit my heart.
Yeah,
it just hits me
that yeah.
wow, they're fabulous. Technically, they're fabulous, but sometimes it doesn't work for me. Sometimes only because they don't. I guess because they have to be such technical wizards. What do you think, Leah?
You know, I it's interesting, Leslie. I was listening to you and listening to Julia, and I agree with both of you. I think the athleticism is off the charts, but
mm-hmm.
I have to admit that sometimes I will watch choreography that's filled with tricks, and it feels
mm-hmm.
like a long run-on sentence that never ends.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
when it gets to the end, I'm exhausted. I don't – it's not that – that I feel like, oh, he was fabulous. I feel like I am tired. How did he make
mm-hmm.
it through that?
Right. And
mm-hmm.
I know it's like sometimes when you watch a show or when I watch something like that, either even a, like a dance concert. And like you say, there's a lot of tricks. It's like, okay, where is the story?
The dance.
What,
yeah,
where,
the story.
Where is, you know, you're not speaking to me. Because I know,
what
I mean, back in our day, there were dancers who were fantastic, technically, but they didn't tell you a story. And it's something that, you know, you can learn if you have great, I mean, I had great teachers, you know, that emphasized the fact, you know, dancers are also actors because you are portraying a feeling. You're telling a story in with your body and your movement and your expression. You know, when it gets too technical and all you're doing is the trick, like Leah said, it's like, okay, now I'm tired.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I need for you to speak to me and tell me what you're trying to say to me with this piece. Not just that, I can make triple turns in the air and whatever. You know.
Yeah.
All
you
right.
See people that do things that the physical body, you're like, I can't believe he did that. But then some of those people you see, and you feel their soul. You feel like they're touching you. And then there are those that are just going from one trick to the next.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. With that in mind, then, thank you, ladies. Of course, I've my time zone because we almost have only about 20 minutes left. And I know that there's going to be some people who want to ask the question because they're lined up already. So when did dance being this much a part of your life, doing it all day long, wanting to go to classes, wanting to get better, wanting to be ready for any choreographic requirements that any audition gave you, when did that become, though, the second priority, and then you moved on to another phase of career? When did it happen, and why did it happen? Let's start, Julia.
Okay, I have to say, when I started working with Vinette Carroll at the Urban Arts Corps, I came in as a dancer. But if you were at the Urban Arts Corps, if you were a dancer, you had to sing and you had to act. If you were an actor, you had to sing and you had to move well. If you were a singer, you know, all of that, everybody was made what they call a triple threat. So you were expanding yourself. And then, at one time, you know, when you got auditions, you know, before you got an agent or something, you got the trade papers backstage and stuff like that. And you would see the dancer's call, the singer's call, the actor's call. Then it was dancers who sing, singers who act, you know, and then it was like they were looking for those things. So you had to start honing other crafts. And luckily for me at the Urban Arts Corps, I got that training because you were taught, you know, to sing, I never learned to read music, but I had a good ear and I could carry a tune. And I learned that God had blessed me with a voice and I could sing and I could act, you know, and Vinette put you in stuff and, I mean, you had to do everything.
When knowing all of that, when did you decide that crucial time, and keep this in mind, both Leah, you and Leslie, that crucial time when the dance was not the priority and you wanted to go into another leg of a career, an appendage, an extension. You remember?
Are you talking to me still?
Yes, still talking to you, Julia.
Oh, okay, I think when I started to realize that I was getting a little older, and that at the auditions, the kids were getting younger. And, I mean, you know, I could keep up. But I thought to myself, why am I killing myself? And like Leslie said, the singers and actors are over there while I'm killing myself and, you know, wrapping up my knee and my ankle and my feet are bleeding and stuff. And they're over there, la-dee-dee-dee-dee, you know. And I thought, okay, I'm going to start going to the singer's call and the actor's call. And, I mean, it worked out because, I mean, I understudied the world until, you know, you finally get that little break that you could, you know, get and do something on your own. But, you know, it worked out. But, yeah, I think when you start, you see the transition. You see as you're going to these auditions and stuff that the kids, they are back where you started. You're now maybe five or 6 years older than they are. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, okay, you know, you may still look like that, but when it gets down to brass tacks, your body is like, keep on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they have a saying, you got to know when to give up the tutu.
Yes.
You know, after a while, you have to, you know, you don't have to, like, totally, but you have to know how to make the transition. You know, you pick your battles and do what you are going to look good doing.
When,
mm-hmm.
Leslie, when mm-hmm. when that happened for you, when what were you thinking you were going to do? What were you going to do?
I was very lucky because I just started choreographing little things. While I was on Broadway, while I was still dancing, I was starting to choreograph different things. So I kind of just moved into the next phase. And I, like Julia, I'm a Bennett Carroll baby, so I'm an urban arts kid. So you had to learn all those things. So I think I was just very lucky that I just started choreographing, and then I started getting gigs, and it just kind of went there, kind of. It just kind of molded myself. Well, first of all, this is all I can do, really. This is what I do. This is really what I do, which means, okay, you better figure it out because this is how you make your money. So I was very blessed in a sense that it didn't feel like I was changing the direction. It just felt like a continuation of getting...
An evolution.
Doing
just
different,
an evolution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about you, Leah?
You know, I started assisting a lot. I started assisting... Kitchen battles
mm-hmm.
a lot and doing little gigs on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I choreographed a club act for Gail Nelson to go to Monaco. I just started doing little things beyond just dancing in the court. And
mm-hmm.
I ended up doing a Color Girl over at the Crossroads with CCH
mm-hmm.
Pounder. And it was
mm-hmm.
the first time that I actually spoke on stage. And
mm-hmm.
I just loved it. I fell in love with it. And I realized, like Leslie said, I mean, I can remember I was doing Guys and Dolls, and we were at the Muni Opera. And it was really, really hot. That stage is really hot. And so the musician, somebody took out a thermometer, and all of a sudden the musicians closed their cases and went home. And the choreographer said, okay, I have a boombox. Dancers, one more time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When
that
happened,
was a
page
turner, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
I said, yes, that was a page turner for me. I said, okay, it's time for me to start moving in another direction.
That direction took you into to choreography, but how did you get into the education, using the degree then that you had worked so much for? What was that? How was that transition? How did that transition happen?
You know, I always taught. I always taught, and I moved out to L.A., and I got the Academy Award. And I realized that I could use my dancing in the schools. And I made some connections, and I worked for a principal who said, oh, yeah, you can have a dance program. And he built me a stage, and we had performances, and I was able to keep my dance going. And then I became the dance specialist for all of Los Angeles Unified School District. So I was able to have my feet in both worlds. And that was a really good transition. And I have to say, every educational job I've gotten, I've been able to use my dance.
Now I'm going to pause here to say that if anyone has a question, now is the time because I'm getting ready to go into a whole nother segment about where they're going now. So I know the listeners are listening, and we have less than 15 minutes left. I told you all it would go
fast. It went fast. You sure did. That did go fast.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right. So you are now in an evolution that some of it seamless, most of it very seamless. And we sit now in a part of our lives where we are mature individuals, but still working very hard. I think I can attest to the fact that I've not worked as hard as I've worked in the last 2 years in my entire career. So where are you going and what do you want to do? Where do you see yourself now in a year, a couple of years from now? Start with Leslie.
Well, I've been acting. I have a wonderful teacher.
Do you?
Her name's Lenny Godfrey. She's one of the people, one of my teachers who's taught me that, no, bitch, you can, oh, excuse me. Oh, my God. No, you can be. You can,
excuse me. What was that, Leslie?
Nothing. Who told you? Showed me that. I can really act. So I really enjoy acting a lot. So I've been playing with that. And I think I just want to keep on trying to sharpen that too. The thing about the whole thing is it's always so much work. It's not this is not an easy thing we do. So I feel like with acting, I'm just starting at square one because now I'm taking it much more seriously than I was before. So I just want to continue with that and choreographing and directing.
So let me ask you in the acting phase, since I know a little bit about your range and talent, where does it sit with the discipline that you used to take those classes, those 4 or 5 classes a day? How much time have you now devoted to that particular discipline?
Doing all the time. You're always doing it. You're always observing. Acting is tiring. I don't know. Sometimes I find it more tiring than dancing in a way because your brain is always thinking. You're always looking. You're always searching. You're always trying to read some monologue or some play. So I find it sometimes harder for me. Well, yeah, I do find it harder for me than dancing. Dancing is my forte, of course. So it's the same amount of work, the exact same amount of work. I guess it's all that work, you know, singing, acting, and dancing. People think it's easy. Not easy.
It just looks, when you get good at it, it looks very easy, you know, but it
right.
is an application of work. And you know, we do work very, very hard. It's that application. That we learned. What about you, Julia?
I agree with Leslie. I think it's a lot of hard work. The discipline is the same, except now we're using a different muscle, you know, which
mm-hmm.
is the brain.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, sometimes, you know, when I was dancing and stuff and you're learning choreography, you know, you think you're going to sleep, but you lay in there and the stuff is going over and over in your head, and then maybe in the middle of the night you get up and start doing a step just to make sure that you know what it is. And the same
right.
thing, like when you're learning a monologue or your lines or something like that. And I know I've laid it in bed a couple of times going over stuff, and I'm like, so-and-so-and-so. And I'm like, okay, now I got to get up and look at the script and make sure that I didn't put something
right.
in the wrong place, you know, and go over
yeah.
that script. So it's the same discipline because we're disciplined because we're artists. And
yes,
whatever
right.
you do, you're taught from when you realize this is what you were going to do. You have a discipline to be the best at what you can, the best
mm-hmm.
at what you're doing. So it's, you know, and they say if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
So it's, when
exactly.
we say it's hard work, it's hard work, but it's the pleasure of being able to do what you love. So, you know, the
yes.
discipline is there. It's just like I said with the brain, it's just a different muscle. And
mm-hmm.
it's just like you got to get used to using that muscle, and that's what makes it
mm-hmm.
hard in the beginning. But like anything
yeah.
else, like when you stretch, the more you stretch, the easier it is. And the more you use that brain and stuff, it becomes
exactly.
easier maybe to learn, you know,
exactly.
retain and whatnot.
Yeah.
Leah,
yeah.
your transition for me, I have a question. Because you were the director of the Carlos Santana Art Academy, you know, and you were
mm-hmm.
president of CHAMP. Okay, that's the charter school. Now you're involved in this education and art solution. Tell me where you think you're going, where, and how does all that you've accumulated attribute to where you are now and where you're going?
You know, I think that the one thing that you learn in theater and in dance is the value of teamwork, the value of collaboration, the value of just hard work. And I think that that has served me well. Interestingly enough, while I have moved through these other areas in education, I have continued to work as an actress. And acting is hard. As soon as I retired, months after retiring, I had a guy, a director, call me to do a play, and it was so hard. It was hard to remember the line.
Right?
It was hard to capture that person. It's just really hard work, but I really, really enjoy it. And I have a thing that I just did for Zoom, and I have continued to act via Zoom. And I really enjoy it, and I like to write. So
you like to write?
Dance, yeah, I like to write, and I think that dance gives you an understanding of the value of hard work and collaboration and teamwork. And you take that, and you can apply it to anything. You learn how to be a leader, but you also learn how to be a follower. You know, because you're not always the dance captain.
Right.
You know, so you learn how to do both. Yes, you become a dance captain because you're really a good follower often. But, you know, you learn, you see the value of both. And collaboration and teamwork are such keys to so many things.
Yes.
Well, I want to ask this one more thing. If you had to do it all over again, and you did not all instinctively have a talent in movement that you trained and developed and everything, but you didn't have that instinctive training, would you, that tool, but you had the love of movement, do you think that you would stick with it as long as you did? Do you think that you would pick to develop it?
Ooh, that's a hard question.
I think for me that I would absolutely do the same thing over again, but I would just, maybe I would study harder to improve the things that I wasn't that strong in, you know, it's innate in me. I can't imagine myself doing anything else. So I think, like I say, if I had to do it over again, yes, I would. I would do the same thing over again, but if I had the knowledge then that I have now, there are lots of improvements I would take. There are different things that I would have studied harder at, you know, and tried to improve even more on that. So, yeah.
What about you, Leslie? Leslie?
Leda. I agree with Julia, absolutely. I think I would have done the same thing, but I think I would have also made sure that I worked on my acting more and my singing more. I would have worked harder on that stuff, I think. If I didn't have the talent to dance, I certainly would have been. I would be in this business anyway. I would have figured out what I wanted to do because I love all three arts. I love dancing, acting, singing, teaching, all of that. So I think I would have done the same thing. But I'm like with Julia. I would have worked harder on those other things because we put so much energy into the dance. So now for me, it's like, okay, now I got to catch up on other stuff. So I think I would have... Concentrated more.
Yeah.
You know, listening to Leslie and Julia, I'm thinking to myself, I would not have quit playing piano. I would have kept playing
piano.
You know, and Julia is absolutely right when she says, you know, you look back on it and you think, okay, there's some things I could have done differently. And they always say hindsight is 20/20. I can't imagine my life without dance.
Right.
So for me, I can't imagine I can't imagine my life without dance. I can't imagine my life without singing. I can't imagine my life without acting. And creativity is such thinking outside the box and doing interesting things is just a part of who I am. And I can't imagine my life without it, even if I wasn't making any money.
Right.
It's so very interesting listening to the three of you. Just a moment in my life, because I'm not as interesting as you all are, but
oh, please.
That's not true.
Right?
No,
that is not
true. We're not letting you get away with that.
No,
go ahead.
No, we're not letting you get away with that.
All right. Let me just say. Let me just finish my thing.
You done forgot who you was talking to for a minute.
Right.
Right. With all due respect.
It's as if, you know, what I think the listeners should know is it's as if I did it in reverse. Because dance was very, very early in my life. I worked with Henry Lattain in Star Time as a little girl tapping. And then it went away, and then voice came up. So it didn't come really back until after college. And to be what I was is I was embraced by dancers because I love to dance. I love to do the social dance, all the dances. I could teach everybody any kind of dance anyway. And to be embraced by dancers and to follow you all was one of the most wonderful things. People don't know how difficult it is to be around you and watch how the facility that you all have, and know you have to match that at least cosmetically. And you all embraced me every single time, whatever company I was with. The dancers all embraced me when I was plucked in to be near you doing a principal something or another. And I do 7 steps and you all did 35, you know. I just have to say an homage to all of you because no one knows better than I how hard you all work and how underappreciated a lot of the times you all are, because people have a tendency to think that they are the show, but the show doesn't go on without you all. So I thank you all for being who you are, and I thank all the dancers that I know, all the people who are evolving into the things that I've been in for a while, that it looks like it's easy for me, but I worked as hard as that, and you worked at the dance at certain times in my career. So, you know, I cannot thank you all enough for being the wonderful people that you are. And just in case, in this last 2 minutes, because that's all we have, I want people to know that I've known Leslie Dockery the longest because Leslie was and I were on Broadway together, and I had to start a dance, and Leslie would finish it for me, thank God, because she would do all the hard stuff. And then I've known Julia for a very long time, but only through reputation and seeing her work on stage, and I knew Leah, our wonderful friend Amelia McQueen, and seen her brilliant work. So now that we're down to the last minute, and I told you all it would go fast.
You sure did.
Yes. The video, we're going to be doing the video for a few minutes, and, you know, I put it up on YouTube, and everyone will see the people they've been hearing from for an hour now. And we've got 90 seconds left. I just want to thank you, wonderful, exceptionally talented, beautiful ladies, for coming on and gracing my program tonight, because it has really been my pleasure. And I thank you always for embracing me. Thank you so very much. All right.
Thank you for having us, Lenny.
Yes,
thank you
absolutely.
For having us, Lenny.
You know,
ladies,
it's
great to hear both of you.
I know,
yes,
right,
you? Leah. I've known Leah for years.
We miss you, Leah.
We never worked or met, but we do mutual friends. You know, it's just good to talk at the same time.
Yes.
To know
it's good to be able to do that. We'll see each other in a few minutes, okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I thank you, everyone. The board is full of calls. It's full of calls and calls and calls. Thank you all for tuning in, and we're down to the last 30 seconds. And we'll see you on the radio. Thank you for tuning in to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser and how the arts has really affected all of our lives. Thank you. And
okay, so
thank you, Lenny.
Thank you.
Leah, you use that link.
Oh, use the Zoom link. Okay.
The link.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long.